verse 10. You can look up Romans in the index if you'd like in the front. It's interesting, we gave about 12 of these passages and told you that there were more to look at and asked, four different groups or people from the groups to pick one out and to seeing if there's a pattern. And this is the same one that Steve looked at. And I'm just going to focus in on a little piece of it, Romans 12, verse 10, where it says, be devoted to one another in love. So let's pray together. Our Lord, we give you these gifts today. We're grateful that you have given everything to us. Lord, we're grateful for the things that you have done, that are doing throughout our congregation, throughout our community, throughout your church at large. And Lord, we add to these prayers that have already been given. And now, Lord, we ask that you speak to us once again, as you have throughout the morning, through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I speak, I just wanted to mention something going on for us. So many of you know that my wife's mother has had dementia for 10, 12, 14 years or something, a long time now. And she's getting toward the end. And so today, while we would like to stick around, we are gonna grab our lunch and run. And we're driving up to Ontario. From there, I'm planning on coming back Thursday. We'll see, but we don't know how long she'll last or how long she won't. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll say, or it could be by tape, or we could have another plan if the Lord has something else going on. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to repeat a sermon. So there's one that I did, and if I die and go to heaven, or if we go off the Peace Bridge on our way to Ontario or something, and you say, well, what did this guy, I'm going to call this my signature sermon. It's one called, about Shalom in the City. It's from the book of Jeremiah. It talks about God's people when they'd all gone to Babylon, and it was a mess. You think we're in a mess? They were in absolute turmoil, probably closer to Afghanistan today. Except they were captives. Well, I guess there's some there too. They couldn't get out. And then the Lord said, okay, what do we do? They said. He said, listen, you're here for 70 years. He said, make a life for yourselves, plant gardens, bring shalom, peace, which means wholeness. It's more than just peace. Wholeness to the city. Live your lives out here so that others are attracted to me. So that'll be, Lord willing, the end of our series on the church. We are the church. And then we'll start looking at the book of Habakkuk, which talks about just 3 or 4 weeks looking at Habakkuk, which ends up saying, well, if the barn is empty, if there's no cattle in the stall, if everything's a mess, well, then what do we do? And Habakkuk says, I'm going to put my hope in the Lord. So we'll look at that for a while, and then I think what we're going to do after that is go into the book of Ecclesiastes, which goes a little bit farther into that whole question. Well, if nothing makes sense, well, then what do? And the book of Ecclesiastes has some answers for that a little bit later on as we move ahead. But this morning, we conclude a morning of looking at the one another passages, and there are many more of them back in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. So I have a son and his family who live just about next door to Hollywood, not too far away there, and they work in the whole communications entertainment industry. They've been there for quite a while now, and they said when they first got there, they realized that everything is plastic. Everything's fake, and everybody's trying to put on a happy face, and they, from the beginning, they just said, you know, we're just going to ignore it and just think of everybody as regular people. But you know, it's easy to look over at Hollywood and say, well, that's what they do. But isn't that what we do also? You know, we put on a happy face for our first day of school because we're hoping our teachers are gonna give us a good grade, you know, or that somebody in the next row is going to be kind to us, or on the bus, or we get to work, we get a job, and we smile for the boss every time he or she comes around, because we want, and we're hoping we're going to get a raise, or, you know, or get the position that we want, or that cute girl or cute boy comes by, and oh, we get a happy face then, everything's wonderful, and especially if he or she comes by our way, or when grandma or grandpa comes by and we want a nice present for Christmas, or I don't know, maybe when the mayor shows up, or the admiral, we're good at putting on plastic faces. How about Facebook? Everything's wonderful on Facebook, isn't it? Or at least on Instagram, and when we put, you know, you'd think everybody had the perfect life. But how hungry people are for something that's real. Because we all know what's behind the mask, don't we? We know that life is not all peaches and cream. Life is hard. Life is difficult. And that's why Jesus came. And isn't it interesting that Jesus came, the God of the universe, and he built community with 12 disciples, and they were very far from perfect. One in particular even left him behind. But he didn't leave them behind. And then when he left the planet, he called us to build community with one another. And that's what we see here and in all of these other one another. And there are many scores of them throughout the New Testament. Because what our world is longing for is love. And not plastic love. Not something so that's just on the screen today and gone once your phone is shut off or once you leave the movie house, the movie theater. Something that's real and that's going to be there. As you've heard some stories about this morning of love that's really real, and even among people that would have no other reason to relate to one another except for what Jesus has done in them and through them, and how Jesus is living out his life little by little in and through them. So when you look at the book of Romans, which this is in, written by the Apostle Paul, it's really the greatest, the most substantial expression or declaration, description of what we call the gospel, which means good news, in the scriptures. 16 chapters in Romans. The first 12 of them, the first three quarters of it, are about the gospel. Now, the word gospel just means good news. And it's good news because it starts with bad news. It says that we're all sinners. That's not good news. That's bad news. And we'd be in trouble, except that Paul says that Jesus came. And that Jesus paid the penalty that we deserve to pay. And if we would put our faith and trust in him and in him alone and turn from our life and turn to life his way, as Martin Luther said, by grace through faith alone, we put our faith in him and then by his grace, not because we something deserve, it's then that we receive eternal life. And it's then that God's Spirit comes to live in us as forgiven people. And the way that he does that then is through community. But begins with what it says at the beginnings at Romans 12, verse 1, which it says that, okay, now if Jesus gave his life for you, he sacrificed everything for you, well, doesn't it make sense then that you would sacrifice everything for him? And then this last quarter of the whole book of Romans, the last quarter is about relationships. Okay, see, we get the theology right, the beliefs right, but we forget that, wait a minute, the rest of this is about relationships. The way that Christ fleshes his life out in and through us is through relationships, is through love for one another. And so he says, have a family kind of love for each other. Be devoted to one another he says. What he's talking about is a family kind of relationship. And so the word that's used for love here is the same word that was used for Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love. Okay? That's one of the words for love in the Bible. Phileo, which is Philadelphia. Okay? I don't know I don't know how much love there is in Philadelphia or not. You know, I guess it depends if you're an Eagles fan or not. Dare we say that one. But it's about love. And it's a family kind of love. Okay? This is not agape love. This is a family kind of love. This is a brotherly or a sisterly kind of a love. And, you know, in families, you know, we would say that our kids were the best of friends, worst of enemies. That's kind of the way family is. But, you know, if anybody gets between you and your sibling, you know, or your mom or your dad, and you might have just had the biggest ripper and fight in your life, but if anybody else comes after them, you're after them. And the whole clan surrounds them. What are you doing messing with our mama or our little brother or our big sister? What are you doing? We defend them. We defend them to the death. We did that in COVID, didn't we? Okay, so, why were the toilet paper aisles empty? Everybody, well, they were hoarding, yeah. We were all running after for ourselves, but and who else were you running for? Anybody else in our family? Okay, or maybe grandma or grandpa or sister or brother. Hey, you got enough? And we were hoarding. But we were making sure first that we were taken care of, because who wants to be left without toilet paper? I mean, that would be a very dangerous situation. But we made sure the family was taken care of first. And that's the way that family is. We are devoted to each other. There's something about being blood together. And the Bible says that Christ has made us family. And so we are a spiritual family at Valley View. And we are a spiritual family with the larger Church of God. Talking to somebody this week, and they said, you know, they're getting ready to speak. I think it was getting ready to speak in church. And he said, well, someone else in the church had said, you're loved, and you're among friends. And I said, you know, that's true. It's true, but it's a wonderful thing. We are among friends. Here and so if we know that we're loved, then it's a safe place, and it ought to be a safe place, and that comes from relationships which come out of Christ himself. It means that we put others first. I was thinking about it in our family. There's a period of time when our older kids were not real happy with the rest of us and the younger kids. We had an older set and a younger set. And there were quite a few years there where we just did like Disney movies. And the older ones were getting ready for the older movies. And we figured out some ways to do that. But, you know, I don't know if they wanted to see, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs again or I don't remember, you know, this is a long time ago now. But, I mean, they they were unhappy because we said, well, we're going to do what the whole can do. And we made decisions like that for what the whole can do. And that's the way it is for the family of God. Now, the Lord has put us together in kind of an unusual kind of combination. We have all different ages, all different tastes. You know, think about music. Kent is picking out music for this week and others other weeks. And, you know, we got country music fan. We got rock and roll people in here. We got people that like jazz. We got people that like jazzical. Yeah, we like people that like jazz. We got people that like the old hymns of the church. We like people that like the brand new songs and choruses. But you know what? God has made us family, and we are committed to each other. And so we might put up with each other's musical styles and say, you know what? I really don't like that country gospel thing that's going on. I'd rather be singing something, you know, this high great hymn of the church, or the other way around, or this children's song, or this rock and roll thing. Man, that's kind of loud for me. But you know what? We are devoted to one another, and we are family. And so we say, you know what, we're going to put up with it. We're going to do this because we are more committed to each other and more committed to Christ than we are to our particular tastes. And that means ministry styles. It means music styles. It means all kinds of things because we out of commitment to Christ, we are more devoted to the whole than we are to individuals. And that's counter to American culture. That's the opposite the way of what our culture says, the opposite way that it ought to be. And it doesn't happen through us. It always happens through Jesus, who's forgiven us, who changes us so that we care more about others than we do about ourselves. That's a big deal. And that happens through Christ. But sometimes, you know, and sometimes God does things in us that's beyond what we show up with. There's not a one of us from a perfect family. Some of us had better or worse situations than others. There's always healing that's needed from our backgrounds. There's always growth that's needed from what we showed up with. Yeah, some more than others, some, you know, but it's, we're all a work in progress. And God uses this family and his larger family to sometimes bring healing to us, sometimes to bring us, you know, to augment what we didn't have growing up, or maybe sometimes to give us another mama or daddy or a sister or a brother that just add into what we have, or maybe replace what we never had. And sometimes, if we can get deep with one another, if we get close enough to one another, then God can even use us to shape one another so that we can indeed speak the truth in love. We have enough trust where we can say to one another, hey, have you thought about this? Or we're able to hear what someone says, hey, have you heard about that? Or, hey, I see you just made a mistake, but you know what? I love you anyway. And they love us more than the most loving of family members might love, and maybe even more so. And that's the way that God works through his family, makes us more of what he created us to be. He heals us, he grows us, helps us to grow even as we go all the way through life so that we become more and more like Jesus, step by step, by the grace of God. And that's why we are devoted to one another in love. Result of all of this is love that's real. A love that's real, that our world is dying for. But we got to be intentional about it. We got to be creative about it. We've thrown a bunch of possibilities out there today. I'll tell you, every one of these group leaders thinks everybody in the church ought to be in their group. And that's good. That's really good. I wish we all could be, but most of us, you know, have day jobs or something else that we're something, you know, or not unlimited times during the week. But I'm hoping we'll have others that will say, hey, I'd like to do this. Or maybe you're going to be creative. Maybe you've got to be really creative. Maybe you're going to meet another Christian, you know, at work. Or maybe early morning, you know, or maybe late at night. Or maybe there's something over the phone. You say, this just doesn't work for my stage of life. But you got to be intentional. You got to want it. And say, I'm going to go after that out of obedience to Christ. I'm going to be devoted to my brothers and sisters so that I can become more of who God made us to be. Won't you stand and we'll sing one more song, and then we'll enjoy some ham and cheese sandwiches that our Together team and our dear brother Mike Delp has put together for us.
Okay, this is a new song. Okay, so we're going to learn something new this morning that I wasn't even familiar with until I ran across it a couple of weeks ago, picking it up by mistake. But I really liked it, so we're going to try it here this morning. It's called We Are the Church. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. Sometimes the church is marching. Sometimes it's bravely burning. Sometimes it's writing. Sometimes hiding. Always it's learning. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it saying, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together. At Pentecost, some people received the Holy Spirit and told the goodness through the world to all who would hear it. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world. Yes, we're the church together.
I hope you've heard the Lord speak this morning. Just take a moment. And like a kid over there, say, Jesus, okay, I'm listening and I'm going to follow you. Tell him. He's the one who's speaking. And now let's pray. Oh, Lord. And maybe we got to cry uncle here. Okay, we're going to follow you, Lord. I thank you for those who've followed you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, which has enabled us to follow you, Lord, some for many years, some for a shorter time. Lord, we want to follow you deeply and completely, Lord, that we might be your people, that your light would not be hidden here, that your light would not be hidden in this area, that your light would not be hidden in this world, Lord, but that your light would shine, that others might be attracted to you and know you today and forever also. For it's in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, who gave his life that we might see. Amen.
If you have just a moment, and the congregation does as well. I've been asked by a couple of people, since you're leaving pretty promptly, to head for Canada with your good wife, Maureen, on a kind of a quickie trip. If I would, number one, encourage the congregation to remember you in prayer, and also if we could have a word of prayer for Pastor and Martin. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you this morning because you have given us a pastor who has led us, Lord, in deep love for you. We thank you for his encouragement from your word, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done for this church through Pastor Lee and through his dear wife Maureen and their leadership here in pastoral role. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to watch over them now as they journey to Canada on this trip that they're taking to sort of make an emergency trip up there. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless Maureen's family richly at this time. Be with her mom, Lord. Lord, you know the beginning from the end as far as all that is taking place with Maureen's mother. And so, Lord, we pray, bless richly. We thank you, Lord, that we can send them away and do send them away with our love and our prayers, and ask you, Lord, to guide, guard, and direct them as they make this trip and bring them back safely to us, Lord, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, for all of your many blessings. Go with them now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.